Hello, uglies, and welcome to a special recap of Dragula Season 4 here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Beth Dixon, and I am so excited to discuss everything Dragula Season 4, from the finale to all of our favorite moments, drama, looks, and exterminations from this past season. Of course, it'd be pretty boring if I did it by myself, so I have a wonderful panel here to help me break it all down tonight. So we're going to get right into this. The first panelist that we have is Amon Adwin, who is doing drag double duty with me. We precapped Drag Race season 14 yesterday, and now we're switching gears to Dragula. But Amon, how are you doing tonight, and are you excited?
I am excited. This was quite the journey. This was quite the journey, and I'm glad to be able to have a moment to decompress about this crazy show that I'm glad is now in my arsenal. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about everything.
Yeah, it's definitely, this was your first full season of Dragula, right? That you had watched?
Yes, first full season. I had been exposed to the show a couple of years back, as I said before, with one of my roommates, but I lost, I fell off. But this was the first time that I would sat down and watched everything, and it was a lot to watch.
There was definitely just a few moments that happened.
Which is crazy.
But of course, we're also super excited to welcome back our special guest, a drag and transformation artist extraordinaire, our expert on the panel, Jeremy Carey. Jeremy, how are you doing tonight? And thank you so much for joining us again.
I'm good. I love this season. I was excited. I'm excited that Amon is exposed to Dragula now. So
slowly but surely taking over.
No. It was good to watch. It was fun to. This is a good cast. It was really, really good. Yeah. And diverse, which is really great to see.
It really was. Were there moments for you that you felt like there were times where you were like, oh, this is what Dragula should be like, or this is what a cast that represents drag or transformation artist should be like?
I mean, that's hard to say with Dragula already, because every year Dragula is so diverse. But Dragula as a franchise, period. It's just, they've always tried to tap into like every kind of representation on the cast, and they intentionally do that. And like, when the Brulé brothers do that, they go through all the applications and they're like, no, we want to see this on TV. What do we not have seen on TV? Like, what is not being represented? And I think that's really cool, because they're using their voice and their power that they have, and their fame, their platform and everything, to shine light on other people and other communities. So, yeah.
And I also like that we had some pretty honest conversations, not only with just the contestants, which so often happens on other shows, but also with the judges talking about representing different marginalized identities, and how, you know, specifically the Brulé is talking about Saint, and how Saint must be carrying the weight of being a queer Black artist in an alternative drag form. And I really liked seeing that the judges are being very open about, this is something that we have to keep in mind. This is something that Saint must be on Saint's mind. And how do we judge this and also provide critiques that are going to, you know, expand Saint's ability to perform on the floor shows or their repertoire? So I was just, I just love this show so much.
Yeah, I feel like this show felt a lot more progressive around that conversation, more so than some of the other ones that like I also cover. Because I mean, we know that in the world of like CBS with like Big Brother and Survivor and all of these new casting mandates that some television networks are employing, not only in reality television, but also in scripted series with the 50% BIPOC and stuff like that. Sometimes the conversations can feel very stilted, very like on the nose, very like, all right, here's the diversity hour. This is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about all the Blacks and the white people. Like it doesn't really feel like it's going anywhere. But I feel like shows like this that are a bit more on the fringe really service themselves in pushing the needle, because not only are they having the conversation about, yeah, we are queer artists creating queer spaces for people of all gender identities and all races and all of that. Not only are we doing that, but we're also talking about just how much that does affect them while they're doing it. And I think that ultimately the perfect world that we want is for that thing not to really matter. And I feel like this show actually pushes more towards that ultimate reality, as opposed to just having like the little canned conversations about, you know, random diversity trainings, you know? So I just, it didn't feel inorganic to me. It felt like they were very intentional with everything that they did. And it felt good. It felt really nice to watch and cathartic. And I love that moment, not to jump too much ahead, but I love that moment between Bob the drag queen and Saint when Bob was like, look, like this wasn't a good week for you. And I feel bad saying this because, you know, as a black gay queer to black gay queer, like it sucks. But like at the same time, if there's anybody that has to be able to tell you when you fuck up, it has to be me. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that's sort of like the moments that push the needle for me. It's like those raw conversations, those honest conversations that happen in the open. So yeah.
It's entertaining to have those moments, but it also just, that is more watchable to me than somebody trying to be performative, on a judge's panel or like, pardon me, but like Jeff Probst being like, yes, white person, what are your thoughts on, you know, Black Lives Matter? You know what I mean? And you're like, what the hell? Just like, why are we talking to the white people about Black Lives Matter? Like those kind of moments. So it's just really, it's great to have a show that, first of all, didn't need a diversity quota, has just been doing it anyway, and pushing the needle, like Jeremy said, and moving forward. So let's kind of jump a little bit ahead. So why don't we start with the finale and then we can kind of go back to the rest of the season. We have the ultimate finale. So we have season four final four, so many fours. going around. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on this final four of Dolly, Sotero Toma, Saint, and Sigourney Beaver?
So I love Sigourney. Mm-hmm. I was a fan of her throughout the entire thing. But it was giving, I do have to agree a lot with what people were saying, where it was like, it was kind of the same silhouette every time. It was the same look every time, the same hair, just different colors, different prints, different patterns. Not to say it was bad. It was great. She always looked freaking amazing. It was just like, all right, what else do you have? And all I was getting was flashbacks of like Bianca Del Rio wearing the same dress every time. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know what? It works. I mean, it has worked. People have won. But we've seen it. So then I was kind of like, I wonder. And then when you have people that are switching it up every time, I never knew I was going to get with Saint. I just knew they were going to look stunning and amazing and wonderful. So I was really torn between Sigourney being there and Hoso being in the top. Dolly and Saint, I wanted in the top. I thought they deserved it. They were great. And it was really cool seeing Dolly. Granted, it's reality TV, so like we don't really get to focus on a lot of the contestants until after they leave. But I really feel like we generally got to see the transformation of Dolly on there and open up. So that was really, really cool to see. But how different types, like three different, really different types of drag, three different backgrounds completely. That was really cool to see. But and then for them to flip it and then tell Hoso in last minute that, you know, they're going to be in the top four. I thought that was really, really cool. Yeah.
I was a little gagged. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, like, Hoso was like my winner pick in the beginning of the season, and Hoso's not going to be, oh no, Hoso's making it. Okay.
Yeah.
I got gooped.
But I genuinely thought it was going to be Hoso, Saint, and Dolly.
I was surprised about that part too. I thought that I was fully prepared to watch somebody's dreams get crushed in front of like all the returning queens too. I was ready for it, but I think that is a very strong top four. I think all of them have like a uniqueness to them. Hoso's, I almost forgot her name for a second. Her just attention to detail throughout the competition. It's just been really, really inspiring. I'm always like really inspired by extremely visual people. And I think all of them are in their own right. And they just all, you know, they all like really, really taught me. I mean, this entire season really has just taught me more about the boundaries of drag and what it really can be and how far you can go as long as you have the balls to do it. Mm-hmm. So, I think that
we're the ovaries. Four of them,
or the ovaries, yes. No. I enjoyed this top four.
Yeah,
some of them fought more than others, but it was a hard slog to get there for some of them. So it was kind of like, you know, it was a little cathartic to see them actually get what they wanted after some fighting.
Absolutely, I definitely agree with both of you. I thought it was really interesting. I agreed with that Sigourney kind of had a similar silhouette all the time. But I also felt like Saint had a similar performance every single time, regardless of whatever Saint was wearing. They tended to just have like a similar kind of just like very ethereal, and they kept getting the same critique all season. So I was really worried Saint wasn't going to make it, even though I was rooting for them. But whew, I'm happy they did. And I was really happy that they did a final four, because I felt like all four of them deserved it and they were really, really strong. But that said, why don't we break down the looks? We'll just kind of go through them kind of quickly. We have the glamour looks, the horror looks, and the filth looks to go through for each queen. So let me bring this up here. So if you are not watching the YouTube video and listening to us on your podcast, feel free to check us out on YouTube so you can see the visual aspect of what we're talking about. So right here, I actually started off with Saint for the glamour look, which I would love to hear Aman's thoughts on this, because I'm seeing Aman smiling right already. So.
Maybe not one of her strongest.
I couldn't determine what that smile was. At first, I was like, oh, did you love it? Are you concerned?
My smile is so misleading. it's fine. I don't know if it's giving enough glam horror for me. It just feels a little, it's just not giving finale for me, but yeah. She looks great, you know, certainly something more than I could ever do, but it's fine.
Yeah. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on this look? For me, it felt a little like simplistic, but not in an effective way.
Well, so Saint had said it before, three times already, that they've been on this show, it's the same setup almost every time. Silhouette, bam. So before they see you, the problem is that this didn't do anything for her silhouette. So that was weird. And then, but when we saw the silhouette, the first thing I thought was like, oh, it's gonna be like a glamour bat or something, which have been like really epic, or like this opens up and it's a spider or something. I don't know, something. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what this looks like, because Saint is always just on point. Mm-hmm. And then the lights turned on. And they don't look bad. They don't look bad by any means. It was just like, okay. I just expected more because of Saint. I also didn't know. I hate when people compare. I hate it, but you're in the top four and you gotta be compared on this. So I'm assuming, because the red's going up to their face like blood, that this is supposed to kind of represent blood on their neck and then on their hands, on their things, the
wrist. Then the one eye.
But then, so then I was thinking, so later on, Sigourney also does a blood splatter on Sequin, and the way it's done with like the individual sequins, it just looks like a blood splatter more than just like they took a diamond panel. So, but you know what my favorite part about this whole look is? The hair.
Yes, I was just going to say, the hair is my absolute...
Yeah, the hair is fun.
It's cool. It's different. I mean, she looks great. I just expected more, because Saint always just gives looks.
Yeah, I think that the thing with Saint is that you can always look at a concept and go, I get what they're going for. And this, I don't know what they're going for. And that's what makes it so difficult to be like, oh, it's such a strong look. If I had a little bit more sense of what the concept was, I think I'd like it more.
Yeah, I feel like the story just ends too quickly with this look.
That's true. All right, so why don't we move to Sigourney, because you just mentioned Sigourney. So Sigourney was the glamour queen all season, and like every look was glamour, and then comes out for the glamour look. And I have to say, I was a little underwhelmed for a glamour look from the glamour queen. Not saying that she doesn't look glamorous and beautiful. I just wanted something more. Like, this is kind of like less glamorous than some of her looks that I think of from the seasons. What are your thoughts, Jeremy? I see you kind of nodding along.
Well, so this is the dress I was talking about that had the splatter. It's cut out on this GIF, but there's a splatter on it that looked... This, whoever did this dress, I don't know if they did it or not, but the sequin, how they... It looked great. It was a great detail. Mm-hmm. However, I will say this hair, I think is fantastic on her. It's beautiful. It's probably one of the best hair, like wigs that she's worn. Like, the style is just great. But when you're known as the first ever glamour queen on Dragula, and then you do this, I think there was way other glamorous looks that they've worn on here. I think some people mistake sparkly for being glamour, and that's not always the case. But like, and this kind of goes later on down the road with her gore stuff, but like if you're glamour, I would have had like diamonds coming out. I would have been the fucking rhinestone, you know what I mean? I would have I would have been like Emma Frost up in that bitch, and I would have just walked out, and she has no problem showing her body. I would have walked out just like completely bejeweled and dazzled then, if you're gonna go sparkly route like this. So again, she doesn't look bad. It's just like when you're known for being glamour, I expect you to outdo everybody,
especially when it's like the ultimate glamour category.
Yeah.
Amon, what are your thoughts on this outfit, and or from head to toe? What are your thoughts?
I do like the color palette. I do like that's sort of. I think it looks great against her skin, especially meshing in with those tattoos. But I sort of struggle with like how glamorous you can be with drag. I mean, this is my first time watching this. And this is like my first foray into like this sort of like brand of drag, and so my like barometer for how glamorous you can be in a competition like this is sort of like, I don't really know. So I think obviously to me, like I think glamour, and then my brain automatically goes towards that other show and what those queens are doing, but this is clearly not that show. So I'm like, well, she looks good. It's certainly a nice silhouette. The hair is great. The nails are wonderful. And so I'm like, did she do the assignment? Maybe, but I don't know. So yeah, I think it looks fine, but maybe it doesn't scream glamour to me, but maybe it's okay if it doesn't in this competition. You see what I'm getting at? Like, I'm sort of like, I don't really know where I feel like I need more experience.
If we're being honest, she did it to herself. Right? Because she set the bar so high for herself. So it is glam. It's just it's just.
I really feel like she and Saint in the same category had the same issue. They set the bar so high and then failed to meet it at like the last hurdle. It's like they saved the tallest hurdle for last. And when they ran out of gas, decided, let me try to jump this and still finish the race.
And you know what? Like being from this situation, I don't know how it works on Dragula, but at least on Drag Race, we had a sheet. Y'all know this. We got a sheet of all the things that we need to bring and all the looks. And you normally go in order when you're doing that stuff. It's just easier to get it done. And, you know, their top four looks. Maybe this is like the last on the list. And they're like, okay, what do we have to do? And like, you're so creatively just burnt out because you have to do this stuff in like a few weeks. And you're just like, you know, this dress looks great. I'll just go classic goth Barbie or something. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't know. But again, she doesn't look bad. It's just.
No, she doesn't look bad at all. But the point is that she's looked more glamorous in other challenges. And that's the disappointing thing.
I will say something that bothers me.
Please do. Please.
She had a black panty.
Okay. I wondered if I kept forgetting if I was like, is this just a weird shadow from the gift? Was she wearing a black panty?
No, it's a black panty. I don't know how much time they have in between their changes, but it's like one of my biggest pet peeves when I can see I'm like twitching. It's one of my biggest pet peeves when I see people on stage. That's why I always like tell people like invest in like nudes you can do like, I always tell somebody if you can always get like a sparkly panty or something. So if it does show, it looks intentional and not like your underwear showed.
Definitely.
So
well, if she's also kind of supposed to be, I'm sorry, I'm going to go there because it's Dragula. If you're supposed to be giving a little bit of blood in the sequin area, like honestly, as an AFAB queen, why not do a little like, the jewel blood on the panty. Like,
what if it
makes period glamorous? Like,
what if it dripped down her leg and rhinestones?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, I think that would be.
They would love that. They would eat that shit up.
Well, because like, absolutely. Think about like how Manila couldn't do like the pad.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
And, like you, but like this is a show where you could do that. You know,
and it was so much about women that it was like.
Oh, it would be so good.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
All right, let us move on to Dali. So Dali, androgynous, looking non-binary, because Dali is non-binary for those who don't know, and I believe uses they them pronouns out of drag, and I'm not sure in drag, so I'm just going to refer to them as they them. But they're I loved this look so much. Amon, what were your thoughts on Dali's glamour look?
Wasn't glam enough for me. I wanted something more. It felt a little, I don't know. I feel like I've seen that before. Okay. So I don't know. It wasn't popping enough for me. And I know that Jeremy just said that glamour doesn't always need to be glitz and glam and sparkles. But I think it needs a little something. It needs a little zhuzh somewhere. And I feel like this is not, I liked a lot of her other looks, a lot of her other final looks.
Yeah.
More so than this one.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts? What do you think about Dolly's glamour look?
So I do agree. We have seen this makeup already on them. That I do agree with. However, the only thing that bothered me with this is because you don't need, like I said, you don't need all this sparkly because there is so much sparkle up here. It's so heavy jeweled, big clunky pieces. Mm-hmm. What bothers me the most is that there's these gold chains on it. And I'm assuming it's like this Matador inspired look, you know, the Spanish inspired look. However, the gold throws it off so much. I would have liked to have that black jewel or maybe that black lace continue down to the bottom and then bejewel that lace. I think that would have been fine. I think it's just too much of a matte finish on the bottom with the gold metal. It looks like an afterthought with this gold.
See, I, now that you said Matador, I get that. What I was getting was like genderfuck ringmaster kind of person in a circus. And so I thought of like the gold as almost being like the curtain that would come up. Like
maybe it is. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, I mean,
or maybe it's a collaboration of both. Maybe it's a,
ooh, yeah.
You know, but I think that this is, you know, what I love about this look though, is that we so often equate glamour with like, you think of things like glam rock, right? Or you think of things that are like more feminine in nature that make things that are more masculine and make them feminine. Or we think of just super heightened femininity. And like, while a lot of queens and artists in the show would go hyper femininity, I love that we get this return to taking something that if it's a ringmaster or a matador or whatever that is more inherently quote unquote masculine. I love this idea, like the concept for the look. And I would say that out of the three looks we've seen so far, this to me was the first time I was like, I'm getting a concept out of this. I didn't get a concept from Saint. I just got generic Sigourney being glamorous, but not necessarily a concept out of that one. So I think this one is more concept heavy, but maybe not execution heavy. Is that safe to say from what you guys are thinking too?
I can agree with that assessment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I actually thought Jeremy was frozen for a second because you were just like absolutely still. And I was like, oh, is Jeremy not here anymore?
But I was trying to think of like what to say. And I really am trying to figure out like now, like, is it a circus? And what's making me feel like a circus is because the lights and everything, but the jacket is so Matador, but then there's a top hat. And then I don't know, but it is a collab. I don't know. Did they say the story is behind this?
I'm going to be honest. I watched this 2 weeks ago and I did not have an opportunity to rewatch
it either. I remember the blood for HIV. He was talking about the red. And so I remember that. And I think they said something about the color of the pill that they take is red. Is that what it was?
Yeah,
something along those lines. So I did think that was like very beautiful, but I was trying to figure out how that would tie into the outfit. And I'm probably doing a disservice to them right now because I don't remember what it was. But yeah, I love like this up. I think Dolly looks great.
Absolutely. Wonderful. And so our last glamour look is Hoso Teratoma. I loved this look. This was my favorite of the glamour looks. I think what Aman said earlier tonight is something I very much agree with, which is I think that Hoso more so than any of the other queens has really opened my eyes to more ideas and quote unquote, like pushing the boundaries. I don't even think that there are boundaries technically with like drag. I think like that's the nice thing about it. But what I loved is that I'm not somebody who is super well acquainted with a lot of Asian influences. And so this really was wonderful to have them on the show. I really appreciated their look so much. And this one I think was my favorite glamour for sure. I love this hat. I love the pipe. I love the layers, the colors. They all seem to go together. I got a concept. I thought the execution was great. But Jeremy, what are your thoughts on Hoso's look here?
Well, as a Gaysian, so this is exactly what I mean. You don't need to be sparkly to be glamour. And one of my favorite things about Hofso is that they educated so many people on Asian culture. I, as someone that is Asian, I get so sick of seeing people that are non-Asian, I don't care what your background is, in kimonos and all this stuff dancing on stage. Like, I just think it's like, you don't know the history of it or anything like it. And some people are not respected. Like, if they're doing it in a respectful way, awesome, cool. Like, have, yeah, great. But so many people do it in a disrespectful way. And so to see them come out there just looking stunning and beautiful in this, I just thought was really great. And the way that they move, it's like, I felt like I was like trans, you know, ported into like this Asian world and like in times past. And like the way that they carried themselves and just really dainty and soft. And it was just great. And their makeup, the Brulé brothers made a comment about like, this is like the softest they've seen them paint, which is cool because like we didn't get to see this side of them. Also, I always find it fascinating how makeup that like we traditionally don't see as being like soft, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. we look at Hofso right here, we're like, oh, it's so beautiful,
it's
and
so soft.
And the eyebrows are like up to like their forehead, but like it's just
their
it's
eyelid
incredible.
Is like, you know, the size of like half their face, but yeah, still,
I love it.
Aman, what are your thoughts on Hofso's look here?
No, yeah, I agree with both of you. I think that the silhouette is interesting, I think that it's dynamic, I think that she knew how to perform with this on, and a lot of them were pretty great. Maybe specifically Dolly was pretty great with how they, the stage presence, alongside just the garment itself. Yeah, no, I agree. I think she looks wonderful here, or they look wonderful here. And yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. So then right after the glamour looks come the horror look. So we're starting off with Dolly's horror look here.
I loved this one.
Go in, Aman.
Haunted by this one. It went from demented Pope to like this crazy emaciated mummy, the way they're sucking in their tummy like that and contorting their body. This was probably my favorite one of the entire night. Like, I love this so much. I like want to be this for Halloween now.
I have to say, if I came across, you know, Dolly's look here in a haunted house, I would cry and wet my pants.
Yeah.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
No, I agree. Literally everything. This is my favorite look, probably of the season. And it's so minimal as far as like what they're wearing, but it told the biggest story. The acting is just like over the top. When they said this is the show, like this was the show, like I genuinely when I saw them come on stage, I felt a certain way, because I was like, oh my god, like that's
yeah,
terrifying. Yeah, because no, it was god, so yeah, good. I haven't seen anybody in character like this in the entire season. This straight up looks like it came out of a movie, and it straight up looks like it's going to be like a new Dead by Daylight killer. Like, it just, it's
I thought the
so
same
good.
Thing, I was sitting here, I was like, when do I get to play as Dolly? And when is it gonna be the priest?
Yeah, the priest. It was it's so fucking beautiful. Ugh. And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Like, Aman said, and I agreed, but the makeup we've seen on the last one. And a lot of Dolly's makeup is kind of similar. They all have their signature look, but this is like the first time that Dolly transformed, that when they came out, I was like, wait, who is this? Cause I didn't recognize, but so fun. Like, this is an artist to me. And I'm just like, this excites me. This makes me want to put on makeup and do things and just be creative.
I totally agree with both of you. This was, I think, probably my favorite horror look of any finale. I loved this so much. I love the commentary on religion. And I also love just, I'm a huge fan of the mummy movies. And you know how like he had like the priest like mummies that he would like, this is like giving me that. And I was like, yes, I was so scared when I was like in middle school watching The Mummy, and I would be like, oh my God, not the priest mummies. And now I'm like, yeah, you're the priest mummy, Dolly. Yeah. So this was just fantastic all around. And I have to say, one of my favorite things about Dolly as an artist is I think Dolly consistently gives really creepy floor shows, like performance wise, I think is my favorite performer of the season. Parallel, I would probably say maybe just slightly below Dolly is Hoso, because Hoso also gives really great floor shows. But my goodness, they came out and it was just amazing. Just amazing.
Also, to paint your back, I want to know, who did somebody help them? I like every piece of them is covered in paint and body paint and makeup, and that's just really hard to do. And the way that they thought about their rib cage and contouring the rib cage to the
I abs, know.
Like, the hands, people often overlook hands, and it like irritates me. You'll see like this beautiful face and then like this rough ass hand, and
it doesn't match tone wise. Yeah, like, okay, like, now that you're nice and contoured, you know,
entertainers have to pose with their hands on their face. It's just what it is. It's a rule.
Yeah.
But no, it was just so fucking good, man. This is great.
Oh, excellent. Let's move to Hoso Teratoma, who was doing a horror look that was very personal to them. They, for those that don't know or didn't remember, they have gone through cancer treatments and chemo. And so the horror look was inspired by their past struggles and horror that they have actually lived through. And then part of their performance, which I kind of feel like we as an audience were ripped off to a certain extent, because we didn't get to get the full performance, in the sense that this was part of the performance was Hoso reading from their journal, their chemo journal. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe that's something that was intentional. Hoso didn't want the audience to really hear it, but wanted the emotion, visual. The visual to be there. But I really thought that this was everything that Hoso did on this finale seemed to come from a very personal place. And for me, that really came through this look. Aman, what are your thoughts on Hoso's horror look?
Yeah, it's gripping. It really is. I mean, we all know that cancer is a bitch, right? Like it sucks. It's horrible. It kills so many of us every year. And to be a survivor, it must be such a relief, but also something that's so scary. And they've talked about it on the show a bit. You know, I mean, you feel like a multitude of things, like grateful for your health, but also scared that it could just come right back. And It's something hard to deal with. And I feel like, I feel like the way that they really showed the emotion of like, you know, having the diary and then having sort of like the mutations of the face, which is exactly what cancer does to your cells. I feel like there's like a lot that she's trying to say in one picture, and like with the injections and the needles and all the poking and the prodding and the experimentation of it, because we don't know so much about cancer, even though we claim to. So I feel like I got all of the commentary that she was trying, that they were trying to go for. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's good thing. It made me feel things that I don't necessarily want to feel, but that was the point. Right. So
absolutely. Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
I mean, echoing everything that Aman said, if I have to look at this as like a makeup and like, you know, creative standpoint, it's just, they're really great with these face masks. I've never seen people really do it like this. Like I've seen people mm-hmm. wear like a different head or a styrofoam head, you know what I mean? But like this is great. And I feel like this is very much a Hoso type of thing now, then like they have their own look, and like, this is definitely going to inspire artists to do this too, which I think is really, really cool. I love that it's not like, it's like uneven and everything. So it's really mm-hmm. like a growth is growing out of them. And I think that's great. If mm-hmm. I have to be nitpicky at all, obviously the chemo diary was made to read from the stage. I get it. I would have liked that messed up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like aged mm-hmm. or worn down. But that's just if I have to nitpick anything, because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful story. And I think it's amazing that they even what's the word? Not honest enough, but like
vulnerable.
Not brave, vulnerable. Yeah, being mm-hmm. able to be that vulnerable on TV and share the story with everybody and put themselves back in that situation is really, that's amazing.
Absolutely, I completely agree. All right, let us move to Saint. So Saint comes out as basically a demented tooth fairy, and I loved the concept. Mm-hmm. Did you like the execution, Jeremy?
okay. So when Saint said this, I was like, oh bitch, yes, like I'm so excited, like I can't wait. And again, it looks great from here up. I love it. I love the hair. I love the teeth around here. That's great. I don't know So Saint does this thing with blood a lot where when it looks like intestines, they'll do this. I don't know what it is. It's some type of like rope looking thing to make it look like it's kind of like blood dripping or stuff. So I feel like that distracts me personally on the mouth. I would have rather that red be gone. And I would have rather just be dripping blood. It kind of looks like string. Maybe they're pulling teeth out. But it distracted for me. I also think if you're going to have blood and stuff like that, the outfit was so satin, shiny, silky. It just was too
clean. There was no blood on the outfit.
For me.
Yeah.
If you're going to be ripping teeth out, you should be bloody good.
Be stabbed.
I think the illusion is gone here. I think it looks very much like this person got fucked up in the mouth and then was in the process of cleaning everything up. As opposed to like it actually being happening in real time. Like actually you see the your gums and your teeth being pulled and extracted and just all sorts of just craziness. Yeah, it just felt like it felt a little disjointed. I did love the concept. I love what she was going for. And I thought it was the most like, I think like the whole mouth thing is really interesting. I just feel like it stops just short of it actually like pulling me all the way into the fantasy.
You know what I'd love to see, and this would just take it even more scarier, is what if you had like baby doll like heads that were like skulls and had like teeth missing out of it? Like these are the collection of kids that she's had. Like something to take that story even further.
Absolutely. But again,
the face is great. I really love so one of my things with in the fantasy world, and a lot of people know this, people don't like black people being fairies. They don't, or elves or anything like that. They're like, oh, you know, they're white in this made up world. And I'm like, why can't they be black? Like that doesn't make any fucking sense. And so I do love that they have like these like elven ears and, but with the braids, I think that's great. It was just, there was a disconnect in the attire and then the makeup.
I really felt like if instead of having those pointed teeth, they instead had just gums and all the teeth were everywhere else. And, or like, I kind of wish that they just had so many teeth, like they were dropping teeth all over the place. Yeah. And like, and just like, I don't know, like, I think maybe the hands should be bloody or something that shows like, are you ripping the teeth out of people's mouths? Right. Like, it's not that you're getting them from underneath the pillow. You are literally getting the teeth. So that's the concept I wished that, you know, she would have gone a little farther with. I loved the concept. I didn't like the execution as much. I'm sorry. But I like exactly what you said, though, Jeremy. I love, like, in addition to, like, the ears, the braids, I love, like, the eye color. Like, we think of, like, fairies and elves and such having, like, really piercing eyes. And the combination of the teeth and the eyes, I was like, this is actually really cool and interesting. But
it almost looks like she got worked on by a doctor.
Yeah.
Right. Or like someone did experiments on them. And there's no, like, you think of a tooth fairy, you think of wings too. Are there wings? Are those wings?
I don't know. That's what I can't understand. It's like the tooth fairy's the victim here and not the pursuer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not the
perpetrator. Which can be fine.
Which is fine.
Tell me the story.
Exactly. All right. And our last horror look is Sigourney Beaver as the mad scientist. Aman, what were your thoughts on Sigourney's mad scientist look?
I just keep hearing the ending credits theme song to Dexter's Lab.
Just
the white coat and them black gloves. At first I was like, okay, sis, what are you doing? What is this? This is not what is this? And then she knows she's mixing the potions and she drinks the potions. And then things get a little interesting. And then she rips off the coat. And then it's sort of just like, you know, of course, that we've kind of already seen before. But then she starts ripping off her skin. And I was like, oh, okay. So you drank the potions and it made your skin fall off. That's kind of fun. Now what?
I so agree. She came out in this outfit. And I went, no. No. This is Halloween. And then the skin got pulled off and I went, okay. And then I went, okay, so that's paint on your face now. Okay. Like, I just, I honestly felt like this was super disappointing and I had already been let down from the glamour look. So this, I was just like, no, Sigourney. Man. I wish there.
Yeah, maybe you're right, Jeremy. Maybe it was just a case of creative burnout, or maybe she switched.
It might have been. I don't know.
And used other finale looks for other challenges that might have also applied. She thought it might be better.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's left with.
You know what I would have done with the. Oh, well, first off, if you're. So again, like, I don't know how they filmed this. I don't know, like the time limit they had. But because, like, I don't know if they knew that they were going to be the glamour queen, you know what I mean, of this. So, but, like, in my mind, like, if there was time, because I do think that they have time off between, they can get these looks ready to go and stuff. I would have been impaled with, like, huge, you know, those, like, paperweight diamonds or whatever. You get those plastic stones from Party City. But you know what I mean? Like, you could be, like, impaled with, like, like, maybe you were cut apart with all these diamonds and stuff because you were just addicted to the glamour. Like, that could have been horror. But if you're going to rip your, like, if you're doing all these masks or these experiments and you want to do this, like, rip your skin off, I think it would have been more effective if, like, her mask was actually liquid latex to her face. So when she, and like, she had loose blood already in there, like pockets. So when you rip away the mask, then all of a sudden it rips the latex with it. And then you're bleeding already. So then it wouldn't kill the illusion of you, like, oh, you have a clean face magically. It's bleeding now, you know, like,
yeah.
And like the outfit. Yeah. She's fucking sexy. She's hot. It's wonderful. It's lovely. But I didn't see turning into Mr. Or, you know, the Hyde version.
Yeah.
There. It was just like, I have black latex.
I would have done this instead of a mad scientist route. I would have done this as someone who's obsessed with like facelifts or something like that, where like
you can latex and just like,
yes, like you're pulling and then you accidentally pull too much. And it's just like, that's like the concept. I think that would have worked more. We saw so many strong people come out who literally scare us or gave us feelings. And then she comes out in a lime green wig and sunglasses. And I'm like, oh,
it looked like I was watching. Horror? It looked like I was watching a show, like I was at a drag show and I was watching a regular show. And that's not bad. It's just for a top four event. Like, you want it, like,
yeah,
it's exactly that. You want it to be an event and an experience. And like, Dali gave us an experience. We all felt it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be throwing money up on the stage for this.
Yeah.
But it would be once. And I'd be giving 20s for a few of the other queens here. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, let us move to the last category, filth, which what I love about the filth category is that, yes, it's about the look, but it's so much more about the performance. Hold on. Oh, no. All right, so why don't we start with Aman. Aman, what are your thoughts here on Dali's filth look and performance?
Ooh, filthy, darling. Filthy.
There we go.
Just nasty. What is their concept here again?
They were it's not even like a clown. They were just basically, well, I guess they were kind of a clown, but they were like a performer who, like, you watch them and then, like, it's like the voyeur aspect of watching them as they get off. And then
like standing in front of like a window and like,
well, they wanted you to feel dirty. Like, I just watched this pervert go out in front of me and blow his load all over. And like,
so it was like a glitter load.
Yeah. So he wanted people to be, it was like an immersive situation again. And he wanted you to be there.
I did like the gag of like going for the crotch and then continuously just pulling out more handkerchiefs, more draws, more handkerchiefs, more draws. Like, it never ends. And then, the masturbating in the curtains was, never mind.
I already hate clowns. Like, I'm deathly scared of clowns. I was once in New Orleans and overserved, and I went down this alley with some friends to get pizza because we were told that's the place to go. And there was a passed out clown on some garbage, and it scared the crap out of me. And I cried because I was drunk, so I was crying. We walk in and they're like, oh no, that's Lucky. He's fine. Don't worry about it. And I was like, I don't know if he's Lucky. So then I walk outside and he was gone. And it scared me even more because I was like, he could be anywhere. He could be anywhere. Yeah. And I don't know where he is. And that really scared me. So the fact that I then have to, like, it's like, not only do I have to watch a clown, but I have to then watch like an intimate moment with a clown is like probably my worst fear. And it was gross. So I effective in terms of performance for sure. And I actually like Dolly is just so good with facial expressions of really creeping you out and making you feel weird and creeped and all that kind of stuff. So just props to Dolly here. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on pleasuring, self-pleasuring clowns?
Well, I think everyone should self-pleasure. It's healthy.
Absolutely.
But as far as the look, I do think it's a great look, but this is definitely more performance based for the filth look, and which is great. I don't really have anything negative to say because it's so different than what we've seen on this show. It's just great. Yeah.
You know what? When we think about this category had four very different interpretations of what filth is. And that's what I love the most about this top four in particular. It was this category. This category showed it like this was you're going to feel filthy. And next, we're going to see Hoso, who is going to show how people have made her feel filthy. And then you have Saint, who is just going to be filthy. And then Sigourney, who is gross that aspect. So let's move on to Hoso. So Hoso's concept here was to take all the things that in Western civilizations have put Asian people into a box, are the filthy racist things, the things that have made her feel less than, and that is a filthy aspect of culture and society. I love this. I was worried when Hoso was describing this in the boudoir that this was going to be a little too high concept. But I thought this was really effective. Jeremy, what were your thoughts on Hoso's performance and look here?
Are you going to me because I'm the Asian?
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to do. Jeremy, you're Asian. What are your thoughts?
So this is a high concept. It really is. And it is very smart. But I think to say it, they dumbed it down in a way almost because like spelling out the words, everybody stereotypes, you know, Asians eating dogs, like it's just what it is. And I just, again, I love that Hoso had no fear of bringing to attention like the realities of like how we are in the States, especially. And if this made you uncomfortable, then maybe you've like witnessed this and not realized it, or you've been a part of this and that's why it makes you feel uncomfortable. For me, I was like screaming like, fuck yeah. Like someone said this and like, this is going to get people's attention. And it's crazy that like it has to take this for people to see it. You know what I mean? Or people to actually even like stop and ponder like, oh my God, I have made this joke or something like, or one of the things that, if she wanted to push even further, she could have like painted herself yellow too. If she like really wanted to do that. So
yeah,
it was great though.
Yeah. The dog eating is just really oof. But I think the thing that, had the most impact on me was the two front teeth, what she did, because like, you know, a lot of old, that's how sort of Asians were drawn a lot of the time. And like, racist ass comic strips and even in Disney movies, like the Siamese cats with those two buck teeth. Like, and that's something that like we all sort of like just experienced as kids, but didn't really think too much about it. And then you grow up and you get cultured and you meet different types of people. You meet Asians, you befriend people from different cultures and stereotypes. And you're like, oh, wow, that was kind of messed up. And I think I really related more to that only because of like the similar experiences with Black people and the big lip caricatures and all of that and like the super duper dark skin. Like, so that was the part to me that really made me like give pause. And I was like, oh man, we can be really fucked up to each other. We really can be, and it needs to stop. So yeah, that was, yeah, she went there, or they went there. They really did.
Absolutely. And I think that especially after, you know, people being once again, with, you know, the Stop Asian Hate movement, if mm-hmm. this is more top of mind for people than it normally probably would have been. And so this is even more powerful because of that. But to Jeremy's point, it's like sad that it takes things like this for people to go, oh, wait, am I privileged? Am I perpetuating these things?
And of course, it's a drag artist that does it.
Yeah,
because drag in itself is political. So the fact that it's they did this, statement, it's yeah, it's just. Yeah, I love it. Now if I'm going to like base it, like, because we have to compare the four, like if we have mm-hmm. to compare the four to Filth, it's like Dali made me feel like, oh my god, I just watched this clown jack off. Like this, I guess, because I've not so much me, because I am very white passing in my Asian family, but like I do, like my brown skin Asian side of the family have to deal with this. And to me, this is just like what I've already grown up with. You know what I mean? So I didn't feel filthy. I was like, this is just a reality I want people to see.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's move to Saint. Saint is eating cat shit.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Oh, so it was a litter box and was taking the cat shit out and eating that. But as you can tell, it is chocolate. And I think that for me is what the chocolate worst part of this was, is like, it just was so obviously like chocolate syrup or something, and it was supposed to be,
it needed to be more grainy. She knew, more granola girl.
Yeah,
she, well there was, there were probably like, she did not have like melted bars in there, and so like I don't know, I was disgusted. I knew that it was chocolate in my mind, I knew it, but like I still maybe I don't know, God, like,
it's hard to make poop look like poop, though. It really is so like, true. To make poop look like poop on actual camera is really, really hard. Which is why, like, I would have just like when I saw her, I didn't even notice the cat. I had no clue. I like on and off, but again, it was just
or the litter box.
I didn't notice any of it, and I was like, oh, she's a housewife. She's cleaning. Oh, she baked a cake. Oh, she's eating the cake. Is what I'm thinking. And I was like, oh, she's getting filthy with the cake. I had no clue. I wasn't paying attention. But I think that also kind of, you know, says a little bit about the performance for me.
100%.
I didn't even get that. I was just like, girl, that cake is undercooked, girl.
That cake, was that a chocolate lava cake? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, a few seasons ago, you have James Majesty, like, eating a lot of mustard and ketchup mm-hmm. with a hot dog. Like, so I mean, and like really long, like foot long hot dog kind of thing. So like, I get it. Like how you could just think, oh, it's just a cake being messy, blah, blah, blah. But no, this was supposed to be cat poop.
Maybe make the cat bigger or have cats.
Yeah, there's nothing bad about having a big pussy. So like, go ahead for it.
Be like the stereotypical type crazy cat lady or something. Like I don't know.
Instead of a cleaner, like have somebody.
Yeah, eat the shit and the cat. Like I don't know.
Actually,
like,
that's a good point, because as soon as I saw her cleaning, the first person I thought of was Bitch Pudding for this Filth mm-hmm, challenge. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, that's still the grossest thing I'd seen on stage. But this is Aman, I will spare you so that you can just enjoy that yourself when you go back and watch season two.
She's great.
That was great. All right, so let's finish up the Filth looks with Sigourney Beaver once again pulling things off of her face, and I think that for me was the reason why I was so disappointed. It was because I was like, you just basically did this. So it's like what you did was combine your first two looks to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's certainly nasty. Like I'm having a reaction looking at it again. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just squeamish. Like, ugh. Like, what is she supposed to be? Like, what's the disease here? Like, she's just got warts and droopy, pussy skin. Is that what it is?
It was like, supposed to be boils or something like that. And I was just like, it just looks like slime or like clear slime or like corn syrup to me. Like that's what I was just like, oh, she's got corn syrup on her face.
Yeah, like nobody's boils are oozing like this. Like if you got boils that ooze like that, then you should just accept defeat, because I don't think there's any, like there's nothing that you
oh
can
my
do.
God.
You heard it here first, folks. You should just accept defeat if you have oozing boils like this.
Just end it all like this.
No,
don't say that. No, but here's the thing. Like, I think she looks gorgeous. Like, this to me was more glamorous than her glamour look. And I think the Boulé said basically the same thing I just did. But like, I just, I don't know. I ultimately was just disappointed with Sigourney this whole.
Yeah, it does. As freaked out as I am by it, it certainly is not at the same level as the others. No.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. This to me is, besides the boils and everything, but like even in Dragula standards, this to me is Dragula glamour. And like she does look stunning, minus she's popping zits and stuff, but she looks fucking beautiful. The thing is when you do something like boils and then make them the color of your skin, it doesn't, you need to do something or put some makeup around it to make it pop even more. And because you're on stage and she's so fair skinned, she glows.
Yeah.
So you need to add more texture to that. I would have taken a note out of like Hoso's book. And like, yes, that's a beautiful wig. I'm sure you paid lots of money for it to be styled, but you want this $100,000. I would have put like a latex piece coming off the side and have bigger bulbous boils here. And you want to be gross? Pop one of those bitches and let that ooze out on you. And you know what I mean? Like, look like you're mutating. And I think that would have been a lot better. It's just...
Yeah. I would have made it gangrenous, you know, like make it like literally black. Mm-hmm. I would have like pop it and just have black come out. Like that to me would have been like a little bit more contrast. It would have, I don't know. I think that would have.
I also wonder how much this one would have translated to, like, as, you know, if you're just in the audience for this, because obviously with the camera and all the zooming up, it's really easy for us to get the small details. But if I'm one of the Boulé brothers and I'm sitting across the auditorium, I don't know if this is as creepy. Like, I don't know if it registers the same way. Well, that's same thing with Saint as well. Like, like we can tell, that's cat shit. But like, in order for me to be really disgusted by it, I feel like I need to be up close in your face seeing you eat it.
Actually, to be honest, I thought the opposite. I was like, they probably were more disgusted because they could see that it's not chocolate from the stage versus so close up. I was like, oh, chocolate syrup, or in Jeremy's case, a chocolate lava cake.
Well, and this goes to, like, again, this goes back to makeup. you're white. You have white boils. You have clear gel. Like, so you're just... It's all white.
If you're wearing a gold nude kind of outfit, and so and I actually thought, I wonder if this is yellow, but because of the lighting and the dress, it looks clearer, or like, you know what I mean? So I don't know, but I just think, unfortunately, I don't think, you know, she was thinking about lighting and all that kind of stuff.
And when I was there for this, I think they stand like on the sides, the Boulé brothers. I know I could watch them from the side while they do their, like, I was never in front of them while they did this. I could watch it from the side. They also record the runway walks, and they're long, which y'all see is obviously cut down, but they're really long. But they'll record it, and then you could rewatch it on it, like an iPad, and review everything. They don't actually walk in front of you. So like on an iPad, I wouldn't be able to see this because it's not edited. You know what I mean? So I'd been like, what the fuck is this? she clearly was doing this to like build up, because she ripped off her skin. She's probably like, oh shit, I have stuff on here now. Let's just add the boils to it so it builds up.
Yeah. So those were the final looks. Overall, I was I liked everything pretty much altogether. I was disappointed with Sigourney. But again, I think Sigourney looked beautiful. At least two of the looks I didn't care for the second one.
Sigourney has a great look. She knows her brand. She knows what it works. In a competition setting where you have to be able to show variety of different looks, I think that was her downfall, because everything was so similar, because she is so secure and great at what she does and knows her look, that I think that was the downfall for this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we get to the crowning, and Dali is crowned the season 4 winner. How do you both feel about that? And we'll start with Jeremy.
Dali was my front runner in this, in the top. And I was like, no, they're going to win. I think they're going to win. So I do think the right person won. If there had to be a second, I would pick Hoso in the top 4 situation. Then Saint, then Sigourney, but I think it's well-deserved. And I think the story that Dali's been through a lot, and I don't know if people know like their personal story, but Dali has been through so much in life, and, to see that, they've never given up, and they're just a great person and like super kind and just generous and just, I don't know, just a great heart. And to see them excel is just really, I'm truly happy for them.
I love seeing the metamorphosis of their drag and how their aesthetic has changed and been influenced by, you know, their surroundings and things that they've experienced. You know, when they were on season two, there was a very different Dolly. There was a very different drag aesthetic. And then with Resurrection, we started to kind of see, oh, okay, this is the Dolly that is, you know, has quote unquote Dragula in their bones. And then we see this Dolly all season long was super consistent. And at times predictable, whether it was with makeup or performance, but was always putting their best foot forward in the competition. And so I agree with, you know, I think that the best person won. I would have been happy with Hoso winning, especially given how wonderful they did in the final episode. And I would have been fine with Saint winning, but I have to say, if Sigourney had taken the crown, I would have been very confused after this performance.
I also think that it... one of my biggest thing that irritates me in this community is like, oh, Hoso, and a lot of people said this, you shouldn't be in the top because you're inexperienced. Well, how else do you expect anybody to get experience if you don't open the door and give them experience? And it really irritates me because like if they're great at what they do, their age shouldn't like, and what I love, this isn't Drag Race. They're not looking for a next RuPaul. No one's ever going to be RuPaul. That's just what it is. You'll have somebody like Bianca who might be close, but no one's ever going to be that. Like there will only be one RuPaul. And the Brulé brothers specifically said, we don't want anybody to fill our shoes. We just want people to hang out with us and want to spread our message, basically. And there is no age or experience for that. And they want to give them that experience. So I think people need to take that out of their, their excuse list. I was really worried for Dolly too in the beginning because Dolly has a color palette that they like to use. Mm-hmm. So like the earth tones and browns and all that. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same that we saw for the very first few looks. And then it just, there's like a switch all of a sudden. And then it, like I said, in the very beginning of this is that it's just really cool to see them evolve into a secure and just confident person. It was nice to see that.
I love it. All right.
I agree. I obviously don't have like the same level of Dolly experience as the two of you do. So she was, or they were sort of a, I keep fucking these fucking pronouns up, piss me off.
you correct and move on, you know?
they were sort of a dark horse for me. I wasn't really keeping that much of an eye on Dolly until maybe like midway through, because I was just so enraptured with like the Bitter Betty versus J. Jolie and the Mary Cherry-ness of it all. I was like over there just watching that shit go down. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, oh, Dolly. Okay. All right. Well, congratulations, bitch. So yeah. But I agree. I think that the right person won. I think that the finale was strong. So
now that we have covered the finale, let's do kind of a rapid fire round. So thinking about the entirety of the season, what was your favorite, challenger theme that they had to do?
I think the movie one was really good. I enjoyed that, where they had to star in their own thing. That was probably my favorite. Was that also the extermination challenge when they were sucked into the latex?
Yes, the latex. Yes.
Oh my God. Like, how did they breathe? I don't understand how they did that safely.
The waiters for this show must be the scariest.
That's what I said. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Also, can we talk about how this acting challenge, literally, I have to agree with you on this. The acting and the clown challenges were my favorite. Clown because of like their artistic vision. I just loved seeing that. I just love clowns. I know you don't, Beth, but I was cool to see all the takes. But I have to say, I love this acting challenge. And in the beginning of the acting, I was just like, oh, like this is really good. I'm not getting a bunch of yes, queen, yes, house, mama down boots. Yes. Like, am I getting all that bullshit? An acting challenge, you know what I mean? Or like regurgitated season quotes. Like, I'm not getting that. I'm getting a real scene. And that's probably a testament to Peaches Christ, who is a great actress and puts on amazing shows. Yeah. Helping them. But it was great. Like, I was like, oh, I actually want to watch this. But
I was so surprised the Boulets didn't like it. The Boulets were like, nah, they didn't really do it justice. And I was like,
I did feel like at a certain point there was just at the very end, it was just screaming. It was and I was just like, ugh. But in the beginning, like Hoso and then, you know, Dali and Saint as the moms was just like, oh, y'all bitches are acting.
Yeah. Especially where they were rehearsing with like their different characters. And
what do you mean? What do you mean?
Like, it was Rocco's Modern Life, the frogs.
The big heads or whatever they are.
The big heads.
Yeah. I love that. All right. Scariest extermination challenge, is it the latex?
Yeah, latex is pretty bad. I don't know how they. Yeah, I don't.
That's what just, I was wondering. I was like, there has to be holes, right? There has to be.
There's got. Maybe it's like thinner than we think. Maybe they can actually breathe through the fabric, but it just still feels smothering. I don't know. It's very strange.
I would have hated that.
That was that, the only I mean, one that was I like.
That was probably the one that I had the most visceral reaction to. I mean, the bugs. I mean, I'm sure that's uncomfortable.
I mean, the cockroaches. But I feel like that's just being in New York City,
or Texas, because it's humid and they love it. Actually, we have like
the shock therapy one seemed a little crazy. I was interested in like how they judged that. Like, how do you determine who did better in that than the others? Yeah. Like, is it just the amount of times that someone was able to shock somebody else and that's how you do it? Like,
I think they kind of have an idea of who they want to send home already.
I think that episode was pretty clear. Mary was going home.
Yeah, at that point, yeah.
And Mary the thing is like, not a lot of people ended up shocking her, which is like so funny. They like, they really, you know, I think in my opinion, rightfully so, kind of came for Mary and the way that Mary reacted and acted in that challenge. But then it ended up being like, they kind of just ended up shocking each other. Like Sigourney didn't even shock Mary and Jade kept going after Betty. Like, I mean, so it just... I don't know. It was an interesting elimination. I agree with you, Iman. It's hard to know. But I think that was a pretty clear cut elimination.
I'm glad that Bitter Betty and Jade are made up, because it was entertaining a little bit, but it got really nasty. And I was like, oof.
Yeah. What do you guys think about Jade using the key on to put Bitter Betty in the bottom of the haunted show? I did too. She played the game. I'm here game. For the game.
It's a game. And if you want to play, yeah. And she already knew she was safe. So if I knew I was safe, why the fuck would I waste that? Like, get your ass out of here.
Obviously, Betty literally was like, the only reason why you're safe is because I'm in the bottom. And I'm like, no.
At all.
No, Betty.
But like, that's part of the game. And people might hate on people for playing that, but that's part of the game. Like when you're put in that situation. I would do that too. People that haven't been in this type of situation don't know what it weighs on their mental health. And if I had to get rid of somebody that was like doing that to me, I would get rid of them in a heartbeat. Like, I just don't want to stress about you. Get out. Like, mm-hmm. That's just what it is. And I thought Jade was I fucking love Jade. I've been friends with Jade, and I'm friends with Betty as well. And I reached out to Jade after this, and I was just let them know that like they're loved and they have friends, because I think it was really brave that they came out and talked about how, you know, they're bipolar and, mm-hmm. and these are the issues and stuff that they have to deal with. And a lot of people don't talk about that. And then when you're in this setting and there's cameras in front of you, people are so quick to make a meme or say this, that, and the other, and they don't stop and they don't listen and they hear what they want to hear. So then people mm-hmm. that are having to deal with these issues are never heard and then have breakdowns or worse. And so I think Jade,
like super like, oh my God, I can't believe that they freaked out like that. And it's like, well, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, it happened. Like, you wounded them up to that point, and literally. Now you're acting like they're the crazy
exactly.
one. Like,
yeah, and then it all came down to in the end a miscommunication. They misheard, which is sad mm-hmm. because then Jade had to go through all of that and mm-hmm. had to deal with that mentally, and she didn't have to if you just shut up and listen.
I think that's ultimately one thing that I loved about Jade this season is that first of all, Jade was not afraid to put down and throw. I mean, not put down, but throw down. Although there were put downs there too, but she was not afraid to throw down, but at the same time, take ownership of the things that she messed up on. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for that. I don't give a shit if you're the biggest bitch in the room, but if you take ownership of the things that you do and say to her, other people, and like take ownership of that.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. a real bitch right there. Yeah. I don't care if like I have a problem with the people who are like, I'm going to be a bitch to you because I'm a bitch. And I'm like, no, that's not taking ownership. Yeah. That's not taking ownership over hurting somebody. If you go out of your way to say I was a bitch in that moment and I recognize now the error of my ways and I'm really apologize to you about what I did and how I made you feel. That's an apology. And that's a real bitch. And I'm here mm-hmm. for that. Also, Jeremy, when you were explaining all that, I couldn't help but look at Toxel behind you and like that little, like your little Pokemon. It just, you were like, if someone's really draining my energy, and I just see Toxel. Like, So if you guys are watching the video, you'll see what I'm talking about.
He's just not entertained.
What other pieces of the show do you guys want to quickly discuss before we wrap up this finale podcast for Dragula? Is there anything drama-wise, story-wise, character-wise?
Jeremy, I was most concerned with the whole like Mary Cherry, J. Jolie, all that stuff, Bitter Betty stuff. So I think I kind of got that out now. Yeah.
Yeah. I found it really uncomfortable to watch a cis men and stuff attack Sigourney throughout most of the season. I found it really, I have a bunch of, cis women, you know, AFAB, women that perform, you know what I mean? And I have to constantly deal with this or being questioned if they're good enough or if it's, you know, they're an artist or they, you know, they have, you know, most have natural curves. So like they have a cheat into it is what a lot of people say. And I just, it was really uncomfortable to watch. And that many times made me want to be like, girl, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
yeah,
like quit judging other people when you are always being judged too. Like, you know what it feels like. So, I hope that this opened a lot of people's eyes, to see that, women do drag and they do it damn good.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Your gender identity has nothing to do with how good you can be as an artist in the drag world. And women doing drag is political in its own way. It's absolutely a commentary on, you know, feminism and, you know, the boxes that society puts women through and as well at intersectionality. Absolutely. There's a lot of different things there. And I completely agree with you, Jeremy. There were times I was fired up. I was like, yeah. And you know what? Good for Sigourney. 'Cause like she stood up for herself and she knew when to just absolutely shut them down by not having to say anything either. And I think that just got underneath their skin even more, which was like, oh, normally she's coming back at me and now she's just going, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can tell. And I was just like, yeah, you better go. Love when people play that game.
Well, no matter what she would say, they would be mad. And then she's a bitch and not like a yes bitch, but like a fucking bitch. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so she wasn't going to win anyways. Now, obviously things came out in the end of the reunion where, maybe we're not seeing a fuller picture either, but a lot of it does. And that is a very real issue with women doing drag. And when I watched the show, I never saw a woman up there or you know, a trans woman up there. I saw artists,
right?
And, yeah, it never came to my mind like, oh, they're a woman doing drag. It was just like, all right, let me see what they're gonna put on the stage. And that's ultimately what we all should be doing, because it's an art form.
Well, you know why you do that? It's because the story isn't, here's a woman, cis woman contestant on the show, like Drag Race would do. Drag Race would be like, look at how awesome we are. You're trans. Keep telling people you're trans. And like, we're going to talk about it. And like, it's like, what you're doing is you're trying to say, hey, look at this, rather than like actually get to know the person as an artist. You're fitting that person and limiting what they can and can't do as a performer, or what they can and cannot do in terms of representation. And it's actually a backstep when you do that kind of thing. And Dragula never once, like I never once heard the Boulay brothers, maybe they did on what we didn't see. I never once heard them ever say something like, well, now let's consider what it's like for Sigourney as a woman, because she would have an advantage, or how, what, you know, her talent, and we have to judge it differently. Like I never got that. I never heard them ever say like, what does it mean to be a woman in this competition? Like there's never those kind of like baiting questions in order.
It's like, bitch, what do you think it means? Like,
yeah.
And they referred to Sigourney every time as a queen. You're the glamour queen. And I was just like, exactly. That's what it should be. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's all.
All right. Final thoughts on the season. Yay. Nay.
Horrible. No, it was great.
Yay for me. I will definitely be checking out for season 5. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Well, we will definitely have to see if we can get back together for season 5 whenever that ends up happening. I want to thank you both so much for joining me. I forgot to do this the last time, so we're going to make sure we do it this time. Jeremy, where can people find you and what are you up to?
At home, because we're still in a pandemic.
Oh, girl. Don't I know it? Jeremy and I live like a mile away from each other. And I'm like, hey, girl, you stay in your apartment. I'll stay in mine. We'll play video games together.
You can find me everywhere. Twitch, Instagram, Twitter. It's all just Jeremy, J-A-R-E-M-I. Super simple. Yeah.
Great. And Amon, what are you up to? Where can people find you?
You can find me at Amon Adwin in all platforms. Got all the Drag Race stuff about to occur. Still got my Glee podcast. Check out the Choir Room. I am covering season 2 of Euphoria with Grace Leader. So check that out as well. So yeah, just all sorts of shenanigans as usual. You
can find Very cool. Jeremy, anything coming up on your Twitch channels or anything like that that people should be aware of? Okay. So don't tune in. No, just kidding. Jeremy's always doing awesome stuff on his Twitch channel.
So. Yeah, no. We have plans, but nothing I can announce right now. So
that's fine. Well, we'll have to stay tuned, and you can stay tuned by following Jeremy at Just Jeremy on all platforms. And I'm Beth Dixon. You can follow me at AugustaWind11 on all platforms, including my Twitch channel. I'm also part of Team Level Up that Jeremy started with Angina. So yeah, you can catch us on our Twitch channels, and Amon also streams as well. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And thank you to all of our patrons. Remember that it is the beginning of a new month, so it is a perfect time to become a patron so you get the full month's benefits of joining. So you can do that at patreon.com/RHAP. You can also go to Rob has a website to get all the details there as well. So thank you all so much for tuning in, and we will catch you hopefully next season. Goodbye, uglies. Bye.